Labasan, good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com.
Laiškų kapai sudužo, užsnūdusi naktis, miškų tremti į pintą. Namų aidai užkimę, mirtis žiedais gelmė, Dubysos krenta. Laiškų kapai sudužo, užsnūdusi naktis, miškų tremti į pintą.
Well, like I reminded you last week, if you were listening, that we probably have the lowest ratings of the year this weekend, the next weekend, because most people are going to Lithuania. Many of us, our relatives, our friends, are going for the giant, huge, spectacular Dainų Šventė, the singing festival, the song festival, also has a shokyu festival or dance festival for closing ceremonies. It's really wonderful. I've been to several of them, and they're moving. I mean, you know, they're patriotic and nationalistic and all that stuff. And, you know, by the end of the night, you're crying, you're hugging everybody, whether they're strangers or loved ones. But anyway, we like to keep you up to date with the weather. Not bad for Monday, 69 degrees, which is kind of a typical decent warm day in Lithuania. Trouble is, it's 90% humidity, so you'll feel like it's 88. Evening will be 50. Next day, 64, low of 51. Next day, 66 with a low of 52, which is kind of where you want it. And then 67, 67, and warming up for the close, 69 degrees. Zero chance of rain. So that's the good news. And I hope that you enjoy Dainų Šventė in Kaunas and in Vilnius, Lithuania. It truly is an experience. Now, we covered this story a while ago about the land sale referendum. There's a lot of people in Lithuania that don't want land, not apartment buildings, okay, but raw land, farmland especially, okay, to be sold or developed. And, you know, it's the old story. It's like they're going to come with helicopters, they're going to hook up the four corners of your, you know, 8 hectares and take it away or something. And, of course, on a more practical level, there's people that believe that prices will be, you know, driven up incredibly so locals can't buy the land. Well, you know, my argument has always been, if you're local and you want to buy the land now while it's cheap, pass the law for foreigners to be able to buy the land and then sell it to them. And you can always buy it back later. Remember the big stink we had here about Canadians and Japanese buying all of downtown Los Angeles? Well, guess what? Take a drive through downtown L.A. now. Anyway, the land sale referendum turned out 7 times lower, okay? 7 times lower than the presidential election. So basically it flopped. And I'm happy to say that's good news. 9,304 people. That's only 9,304 people of Lithuania's eligible voters cast their ballots during the first day of early voting in a land sale referendum last Wednesday. 4,265 people cast their votes at other municipalities and another 5,000 voted by mail. According to Commission Chief Zenonas Vaigauskas, the turnout is significantly lower than the one during the recent presidential election. In comparison, 31,964 people voted in the first round of the presidential election, and that is 7.5 times fewer, according to him. According to preliminary data that's just come in, the district of Kaišiadorys ranked first in terms of early voting, with 99% of eligible voters casting their votes. Look at that. Most people actually care, regardless of what side they're on. 99% of people showed up. Okay. Neringa was second with 74%. And, you know, I take that back. I take that back, okay? Read that wrong. With 0.99% of eligible voters casting their votes. That's less than 1%. Okay? And Nettinga was second with 0.74%, which is less than 0.75%. And Calvaria, where my roots are, 0.72%. The lowest turnout of between 0.15 and 0.19% of eligible voters was in Panevėžys, Klaipėda, and Kretinga. A total of 2,532,000 Lithuanian citizens are eligible to vote in the referendum aimed at banning the sale of land to foreigners. Now, there's a note here that the land sale referendum has already hurt Lithuania's farmers. Okay, now some people don't buy into this, but I certainly do. A referendum on the ban of sale of agricultural land to foreigners and corporate entities, which will be held in Lithuania on Sunday, okay, that's the second part of the vote, has already harmed Lithuania's farmers as the value of their land has been falling. The organization of this referendum has actually undermined a certain financial state of certain farmers or landowners and its tenants. For those who wanted to sell land, that process took a lot more time. And if you look, you'll see that the value of the land has been decreasing. As a result, some people have suffered heavy losses. Butkevičius just reiterated that he would take part in the referendum and would vote against the ban. From the very first day, I said that the referendum is being organized due to the approaching presidential and European Parliament's elections. There was a certain situation in Europe in which public trust in certain countries went to Eurosceptics. I think it was expected that the same would occur in Lithuania. On Sunday, voters will be asked to express their approval or disapproval of the proposed ban to sell agricultural land. Remember, farmland. To foreigners and corporate entities. They will also be asked to lower the required number of signatures to call a referendum to 100,000 signatures now from the existing 300,000. In other words, you need to gather 300 signatures to put something on the ballot, and now it'll only be 100,000, which makes sense considering the shrinking population.
Lietuviai mes mylime mišką, pilką akmenį paukštį naktinį, sūrų gintaro lašą ištryškusi, iš tos vietos mus skauda tėvyniai.
Yeah, I think it came from, maybe going to too many Saturday repeticijas, rehearsals for Lithuanian folk dancing and singing and all that, and we were always accompanied by an accordion. Well, I'll tell you, all that changed when I heard Skylė, that band you just heard, Hole, that's how it translates, Hole, H-O-L-E, Skylė. Man, if you don't like the accordion after listening to them, something's wrong with you. Anyway, last week I talked about Ambassador Stasys Lozoraitis, who in effect ran a Lithuanian government in exile, okay? And, I made a couple of comments about how I called him on the phone to get a visa for Lithuania, and he said, what are you calling me for? Call the Russians. You know, call the Soviets. They're the ones that give out the visas. We don't give out visas. And I said, dear Ambassador, Gerbiamas Stasys Lozoraitis, are you watching the news? There's this guy called Boris Yeltsin standing on a tank. There is no Soviet Union. If you call him, the number's disconnected. And it was true, because I did try to call them, and it was disconnected. Now, I repeat that story, because that was my first run-in with Ambassador Stasys Lozoraitis. First time we had any communications. I needed to go to Lietuva. I needed to go fast. But I also did not want to leave the impression that he was clueless. Okay? It would have probably been another 3 or 4 or 5 seconds before someone else called him or he was notified that this was going on. So please accept my apologies if I gave that impression last week. Anyway, just to embellish the story a little bit, and then not really embellish, but just to give you the details, what he did is he said, send me your passport. He said, give me a few minutes. He watched the television. He made a few phone calls. And he said, send me a copy of your passport. Fax it over to me. And I did. And a couple hours later, I got a hand-typed visa. And I don't have it in front of me. I should have dug it up, you know. But I had a hand-typed visa on an old-fashioned typewriter. You know, it's funny looking at that stuff now. But it said, you know, I hereby grant Edward Kisutis Davidas, you know, permission to go visit Lithuania for his ailing father, and so on and so forth. And it had a little official stamp on it. And it had number, I don't remember the number, frankly, but let's just say it was something like number 4,222. And I called the guy up, you know, and I said, dear ambassador, you said this is the first visa you've given out since 1944. How come it says number 4,442? He said, because that's where I left off when the war was ending. So anyway, there you have a little background of the story. I just want to get to part two, which was written up, celebrating the life of former Ambassador Stasys Lozoraitis in Washington. Okay, this was printed up last week in remembrance. In 1983, shortly before his father passed away, Stasys Lozoraitis was appointed as an advisor to the embassy in Washington, D.C. He moved to the USA Capitol to work with Stasys Antanas Bačkis, the Lithuanian's chief of the diplomatic service. It had been a bit of an unusual procedure due to lack of money and candidates, but with his hands-on experience, he would work to maintain the remaining diplomatic ties. This was already a very important task in preparation for the day that Lithuania would finally regain its independence. Already too many had seen Lithuania as a vanished country. After all, if you go back 25, 30 years, go find a map. There ain't no Lithuania on it. Pardon my English. There ain't no Lithuania on it. Lozoraitis would spend the next 10 years in Washington, and what a memorable 10 years it would be. In 1987, he became the leader of the Lithuanian diplomatic service in exile. In the autumn of 1989, the Berlin Wall collapsed. It fell. And on the 11th of March, 1990, the whole world was watching as Lithuania broke away from the USSR. As the first republic leaving Lithuania started the disintegration of the Soviet Empire. Now, I want to interject here and repeat this. In 1987, Mr. Lozoraitis became the leader of the Lithuanian diplomatic service in exile. And I got the first visa from the guy. There was actually a write-up about me, interview, and we talked about this. I told the story about how I got the first visa and so on and so forth. And you should have heard the howling that went on in Lithuania. It was amazing. There were people that were angry because they said the first visa was given out by the Parliament of Lithuania, the new Free Lithuanian government, to some journalist from Germany or something like that. And I wasn't trying to make a point that my visa was better than their visa and I was first and he was second, or he was first and I was second. But the official diplomatic service in exile was led by Mr. Lozoraitis, and he gave me that visa. That is a fact of life, and if you ever want to see it and you run into me, I'll show it to you. Lithuania was independent again. After many years of struggling for democracy and freedom, Mr. Lozoraitis' home country was finally free. It certainly felt like a big reward for Mr. Lozoraitis after all these years of efforts and service. Lozoraitis had succeeded in building many bridges between the U.S. and Lithuanian authorities, and those became crucial in the memorable 1989 through 1991 period. In those fragile early days of the independence, these ties with the United States were particularly of the highest political importance. By 1991, the now officially appointed Ambassador Lozoraitis reflected upon these transforming years with quite a sense of humor. His work had involved a whole lot less paperwork and traditional diplomacy, and had relied more on improvisation and leeway to achieve non-traditional solutions to many diplomatic challenges. Now, I'll just go back to my story again, non-traditional solutions. He typed up a visa, he faxed it to me, and I had a piece of paper. I said, is this going to work? I said, ponas lozoraitis, is this going to work? And he said, hell if I know. Pirmiausia laužysi ledus. You know what that means? That means you'll be the first to walk across the ice and see if it cracks. And I took that piece of paper, and I flew to Europe, and I went through Scandinavia, and I waved it around, and I was applauded. People looked at me, their eyes filled with tears, and they applauded me. And I walked through, and I went through everything, and nobody cared about how official or unofficial it looked. The world had changed. With Lithuania regaining statehood, Mr. Lozoraitis would increasingly appear on U.S. television and radio. A polyglot, Lozoraitis gave interviews to foreign press in English, French, German, Polish, Italian. With the benefit of hindsight, Stasys Lozoraitis' presence in Washington was arguably one of the best diplomatic connections that Lithuania could possibly have had. Throughout it all, Ambassador Lozoraitis maintained a very simple way of life. He often prepared his own coffee. His wife, Daniela, would be seen washing the tablecloths, vacuum cleaning the embassy's carpets. To keep expenses to a minimum, Mr. Lozoraitis walked 3 miles from the embassy to the State Department and back on foot in any kind of weather. Using taxis was an exceptional situation, only when protocol required him to do so. Mr. Lozoraitis is remembered by most of his visitors and embassy staff as a simple, honest, and open man that with his charming and charismatic personality built bridges between people of all ages and of all cultures. His arrival in Washington had also been a bit of a breath of fresh air, not only for the mission, but also for the local Lithuanian community. Lithuanians in the United States capital consisted more of white-collar intellectual types, while the largest Lithuanian community then and now was living in Chicago, more of a blue-collar crowd. Danutė Vaičiulaitytė Norsė, then the special assistant to the ambassador, says that there is no doubt that he was an enlightened leader and a fighter of Lithuanian freedom. Mr. Lozoraitis was finally able to return home to Lithuania, a country he had left almost half a century earlier. With distant memories as a young boy in Kaunas, he arrived on a cold, wintry day in Lithuania, warmly welcomed by the people he had been fighting for most of his adult life. In 1992, the ambassador was awarded an honorary doctorate at Vytautas Magnus University in Kaunas. This visit was not a touristy one, but rather one of a man with a mission. The new political elite had invited him to discuss the possibilities of running as a candidate for the country's first presidential election. In 1993, Mr. Lozoraitis found himself in a completely new role with the slogan, President of Hope. He set out to provide a new vision and a new approach. His campaign would be independent of any political party or movement. Just like his diplomatic career had been filled with the hope for a free and independent Lithuania, his campaign focused on hope for the future with a human touch that would be required to move Lithuania forward. As a man of the people, Stasys Lozoraitis insisted, sitting next to the driver during the long drives on the campaign trail. It was only when Daniela came to keep company with him that they both sat in the back seat of the car and spoke in Italian, a language that sounded to the driver more like singing, plus he couldn't understand. The long day started at 8 in the morning, meeting voters 3, 4, 5 times a day, sometimes in factories and unheated meeting halls. The days finished late at night in meetings and discussions with the chief of staff, Angela Bailey, special assistant for humanitarian issues and education at the embassy, recalls how candidate Lozoraitis would reach out to his audience with an invitation to come closer, to debate with him, and hear his views. The election campaign had lasted about a month and a half, perhaps a bit of a surprise to U.S. readers used to presidential campaigns lasting years. We're already talking about the next one, aren't we? Nevertheless, in a few weeks' time, Mr. Lozoraitis managed to gather almost 39% of the vote. After the presidential election, Mr. Lozoraitis returned to Washington, but not for too long. By May of 93, the newly elected President Brazauskas recalled Lozoraitis as ambassador to the United States. In late 1993, he was appointed ambassador to Rome. This move was seen by many as a demotion and was labeled as politically motivated, although Rome was like a second home to Mr. Lozoraitis. He had spent, after all, 40 years of his life there, but his thoughts and life had always revolved around Lithuania. It was on a return visit to Washington that Mr. Lozoraitis died in Georgetown University Hospital on the 13th of June, 1994, just weeks away from his 70th birthday. Although initially buried in Putnam, Connecticut, his last wish had been to return to his home country. Kaunas became his final resting place back in 1999. His beloved Daniela put an amber heart in the pocket of his suit to accompany him on his last journey. The legacy of Ambassador Lozoraitis is very much alive. In 1996, Vytautas Landsbergis Jr., the son of the prominent Lithuanian independence leader, produced a short movie called The President of Hope, focusing on Mr. Lozoraitis' 1993 election campaign. The Lithuanian composer Osvaldas Balakauskas wrote in 96 an intimate requiem in memoriam of Stasys Lozoraitis, combining medieval melodies with a modern feel and some contemporary instrumentation. The present Lithuanian ambassador to the United States is Žygimantas Pavilionis, and he reminds his audience often of his pride to serve in the embassy where Mr. Lozoraitis contributed a major and important part to the struggle for Lithuanian freedom. In addition, there are numerous projects that keep the memory of Stasys and Daniela Lozoraitis alive. There is an initiation going on for ongoing support for a graduate degree program in diplomacy and international relations at Vytautas Magnus University in Kaunas, Lithuania. The program has produced over 160 diplomatic and international relations professionals that represent a now free and democratic Lithuania throughout the world. We'll be right back. You probably noticed by now that I snuck in some more skile, a little bit more accordion music for you. Hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. God, did they play beautifully, and I had the fortune of seeing them. I know I've told you about this, but if you ever go to Lithuania and you see a concert by skile, go see them. She has an incredible voice. He has an incredible talent of poetry, and together they make some of the most beautiful pop rock traditional folk music you're ever going to hear. Now, we're about running out of time today. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all. There must have been 100 of you, if not more, at my father-in-law's funeral. He was going to be 95 years old this week. And we buried him with honors. We had a, scout honor guard. And it was a wonderful ceremony, and I really, really appreciate you all coming to support the family, my wife, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my other sister-in-law, and, of course, Solomea, his widow. Thank you all again for coming. And before going today, we have one more story for you. And this, I'm kind of getting a kick out of this. I love putting these little different stories at the end because, you see, if you were in Lithuania in 1990, 91, 92, 93, 94, they changed the name of all the streets, right? So you were born in Lithuania, right? And you lived on, I don't know, St. George Street, right? Then the commies came in and they turned it into Lenin Avenue, right? So it took you 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years to get used to the fact that now you lived on Lenin Avenue. And, you know, you dealt with it. Yeah, that's just what you did. Then here comes 1991, And the new government, the Free Government of Lithuania, changes the names of the streets again. Now, it's kind of humorous, but it's also pretty frustrating. You would ask people, you know, we Americans, people like me, would travel to Lithuania, and we'd say, like, you know, where's 123 Gedimino Street? And people would look at you like you're an idiot. They'd never heard of Gedimino Street. Well, here we go again. Lithuanian parliamentarian Kęstutis Masiulis of the opposition Homeland Union Lithuanian Christian Democrats has proposed renaming Liepu Street, okay, that's a tree, Liepu Street, it's also known as a linden bush, Liepu Street, in the western port of Klaipėda, and restoring its historic name of Prezidento Smetonos Street, or the Street of President Smetona. The lawmaker says in his statement that between the two world wars, the street was named in honor of the then president, was renamed to Maximo Gorkio Street, Maxim Gorky Street, by the Soviet authorities. It was later named Alexandro Street and subsequently became Liepu Street. Pretty confusing, huh? President Antanas Smetona's activities are not properly commemorated during the Soviet times. He was denigrated, and a lot of lies were spread about his time of government. All places and monuments related to his activities were destroyed, and Klaipėda is no exception. The restoration of the historic name would be a great gift on the occasion of Smetona's 140th anniversary, according to Masiulis. August 1st this year will mark Smetona's 140th birthday and the 70th anniversary of his death, as well as 95 years since he was president. Smetona was Lithuania's president in 1919 through 1920 and again in 26 through 1940. In 1926, he organized a coup, effectively ending paramilitary rule and replacing it with a dictatorship. That's where he got all his flack. My name is Kęstutis Reividas. I want to thank you again for listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio. We really appreciate your support. We've been reminding you occasionally that in 3 or 4 months we're going to be off the air. We have no control over this matter. KTYM is being sold to a Catholic broadcasting network. And when the FCC clears it, we will unfortunately lose our time slot here. It will be all Catholic programming. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for your support throughout the years. Once again, this is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And at least for a couple, 3-4 months, keep listening. Ačiū.
Bet jėgos jų išsako. Tada atsėlino naktis, šalčiu užmigdė pievas, tamsoj tylėjimu sunkiu sutirpdė širdį miegas. Kasgi paukštį priglaus? Pirštai